few years ago, Time magazine reported an incident that took place in the state of Maryland. Seems like a truck driver had been arrested for drunk driving and disorderly conduct. Now, when the police officers arrived on the scene to arrest the man, he became abusive. He began to use filthy and profane language and repeatedly took God's name in vain. Now, when the man was brought before the magistrate, he was still using profane language. The maximum penalty that the judge could impose for drunk and disorderly conduct was a $100 fine and 30 days in jail. Well, the judge wanted to throw the book at him, so he found an antiquated law still on the books in Maryland, which had never been repealed, that prohibited public blasphemy. So, since the man had publicly profaned and blasphemed the name of God, the magistrate tacked on another $100 fine and an additional 30 days in jail. The Time news editor was outraged at the treatment this man received. Now, he wasn't concerned about the penalty for drunk driving, but he was outraged that a man would be fined $100 and given 30 days in jail for cursing and blaspheming the name of God. He felt like it was, quote, cruel and unusual punishment. Well, that truck driver should be glad that he wasn't arrested by Aaron, the high priest. In the Old Testament, the best lawyer in Israel could not get his client a $100 fine and 30 days in jail for public blasphemy. The penalty was death. The question is, what is worse, drunk and disorderly behavior or publicly insulting the dignity of a holy God? Time's news editor gave his answer, but God has given a different one. The fact is, we don't take names, especially God's name, seriously anymore. When the Hebrews were transcribing the Bible thousands of years ago, copying the word of God from scroll to scroll, a scribe would fast and pray before writing the name of God. He would bathe himself and write the name of God with a brand new quill. And after he wrote God's name, he would throw that pen away and burn it. His clothes would be burned as well. He could then continue to write, but once he came to the name of God, he would go through that same ritual all over again. And considering God's name is listed over 6,000 times in the Old Testament, that meant the scribe better have a considerable wardrobe. God's name, Yahweh, was considered so holy that it would only be uttered once a year by the high priest in the Holy of Holies. The Hebrews were so afraid of misusing the name, well, they quit saying it altogether. You see, in biblical times, people chose names for their children from ordinary nouns and verbs. Everyday language, because back then, names were not just labels. Names had meanings. Names represented the inner core of a person, his very character and nature. And so, if you desecrated a person's name, you desecrated the person. And if you exalted the person's name, you exalted the person. And this is most certainly the case with the name of God. In our text for today, Moses had an experience with God while tending sheep in the wilderness of Midian. When God told Moses to go back to Egypt and lead the Israelites to the promised land, Moses faced the problem of explaining to the Israelite who God is. Moses says to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What's his name?' what shall I say to them?" Hey, that's our problem too. How do you describe or explain God the unknowable? God's answer is simply, "I am who I am." Now, in one sense, that doesn't say a whole lot. It almost sounds like a cop-out. But when you really think about it, this is just about all that God or man can say about God. God is God, and no one else is like him. And while we cannot say more than what God said about himself, we can certainly see some attributes of this being, of this God, the I Am, that tells us all we really need to know about our God, the God of the Bible. So let's do that. In Genesis 1:1, we're told that God is a God of power. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The name for God in Genesis literally means the strong, faithful God, Elohim. It is this creator God who said, "Let us make man in our image." We were created by the God of power, the God who has power over life and death. And so remember that the same God who lit the candle of your life can snuff it out in an instant. He's also the God of preeminence. You see, there came a time when God wanted his people to know that not only was he their creator, but he was their master. So he revealed to them another name, the name Lord, the Hebrew word Adonai, and it means master. It indicates the relationship of a master to his servant or slave. As Lord, he deserves your absolute, complete, and total surrender and obedience. Another name that's often in the Bible used of God is the God of possession, the Most High God, the Hebrew named Elyon. It's the thought of ownership. The Most High God is the possessor of all things, heaven and earth. So when Abraham delivered Lot, his nephew, from some enemy kings, he brought back the spoils of battle and turned them over to the king of Sodom. When the king of Sodom offered to let him keep the spoils, Abraham said, "I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth." God's not only the God of power who's made us, he's a God of possession who owns us. And then, of course, God is a God of provision. Sometimes in the Bible, we read that God is called Almighty God, or El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient One. So God is not only the source of life, he's also the sustainer of life. In the book of Proverbs, there's a man by the name of Agur, and he asked the Lord to give him neither poverty nor riches. He says in Proverbs 39 that he does not want to be poor, lest he steal and profane the name of God. How does stealing profane the name of God? Well, when a man steals, he is denying that the God of provision can meet every need that he has. God's name is to be honored, not only by what we say, but by what we do. For there is no one like him. I am who I am, says the Lord. The commandment says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." So, how do we take God's name in vain? Well, many ways, but for today, let me just suggest two. First of all, profanity. We're all familiar with that. You know, normally in an airport restroom, you'll often find crude and ugly graffiti. But someone wrote graffiti on one wall of an airport restroom that was very profound. It said, "Damn is not God's last name." One of the ways you take God's name in vain is by profanity. That word profane really comes from two Latin words, the word pro, meaning out of, and the word fanum, which means temple. So literally, profanity is to take out of the temple. In other words, profanity is when you take the name of God out of his holy temple, and you drag it through the muck and the mire of this world. There is really no other sin quite like this sin. First of all, it's a revealing sin. The Bible says a man's mouth reveals a man's mind. Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaks." Or in my language, as the old country farmer put it, "What's down in the well comes up in the bucket." Profanity reveals a rotten character. In other words, if a man's mouth is dirty, his heart is dirty as well. And it also reveals a weak and pathetic mind. When a man swears, I know he either has a poor vocabulary or he's a poor communicator. Lord Byron once said of a friend, "He knew not what to say, and so he swore." Incidentally, we Christians who would never think of using curse words need to be careful with using what I call second-handed curse words, because it can so easily lead to the real thing. I heard about a little girl who was at her grandfather's house, and she stubbed her toe and she said, "Darn." Her grandfather said, "Honey, if you will never say that word again, I'll give you a dime." Well, a few days later, she came back and said, "Grandpa, I'm so excited. I learned a word at school today that's worth at least half a dollar." Profanity is a revealing sin, but it's also a ridiculous sin. With any other sin you commit, at least you get something in return. So if you commit adultery, you at least fulfill your lust. If you steal, you at least get that which you stole. Now, I'm not advocating those, but in profanity, you get nothing in return except the judgment of God. So if you get a flat tire and curse the tire, that doesn't put air in the tire. If you stub your toe in the dark on a chair and curse the chair, it doesn't stop the pain. If you curse because you hit a bad golf shot, it doesn't put the golf shot back in the fairway. There's no reward in profanity. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 48:1, "Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel and have come forth from the wellsprings of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth or in righteousness." A person stands before a courtroom with one hand on the Bible and the other hand lifted toward heaven, and he promises to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. He is, in other words, swearing by the name of God that what he's about to say is true, and he calls God as his witness. But if that person breaks that oath and lies, it's what the court calls perjury. It's what God calls blasphemy. "And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Let me just add this. You can commit perjury not only by what you say, but by the way you live. Jesus said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" A Christian is someone who belongs to Christ. He's taken for himself the name of Christ. Therefore, to call yourself a Christian and yet not really live like one is to profane his holy name. So we've looked at the negative side of the coin. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But what does it mean to use it properly? What does it mean to hallow, as we say in the Lord's Prayer, God's name? So negatively, we say don't use God's name the wrong way, but positively, we say use God's name the right way. Negatively, Luther says, do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie or deceive by God's name. And then positively, call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. So we're not to take the Lord's name in vain, but we are to lift up God's name in victory. And the way to do that then is to understand what God's name really declares. Three things, really. First of all, salvation for our soul. As the angel said to Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The name Jesus in the Greek is really the translation of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means the God who saves, or the Lord saves, Yeshua. In Acts, it says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." That's why the Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, why does that verse say to call on the name of the Lord and not just on the Lord? Well, because there are many who will masquerade as Lord, but there's only one name, one person of pure and perfect character that can save you, and his name is Jesus. Secondly, when we properly use the name of the Lord, we find strength for our service. Colossians says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So not only are we saved by God's name, we're to serve in God's name. Again, name stands for authority. So if I sign my name on a check, I'm giving the banker the authority to take certain funds out of my account to pay the person who bears that check. When a policeman stands up and says, "Stop in the name of the law," his strength, his power, his authority, it's not found in himself, it's found in the law. Therefore, all that we do in the strength, in the power, in the might, and in the name of Jesus. And finally, as God's people, we find security in his name. Proverbs 18 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." And so the name of God is security for the saint. It will shelter you when the rains of trouble are falling. It will shield you when the winds of adversity are blowing. What's the right use of God's name? We're to declare his name in profession, meaning everywhere we go, we're to take the name of Jesus with us. We're to share the name of Jesus and preach the name of Jesus and live the name of Jesus. And we're to take the name in praise. We're to give unto the Lord the glory due his name and worship him in the beauty of holiness. My friends, our God is a great God. His name is a great name. It's a name of grace, a name of goodness, and a name of glory. As Luther says, God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also. Indeed, may God's name forever be honored and hallowed forever and ever. Amen.